Okay, welcome everyone. This is Margaret, and this is class number 3 for Powerful, Passionate, and Fabulous. And this is the program that's all about taking a bigger step up in your energy, your passion, your fire, your charisma. So today's class can sound a little strange. We are going to look at what's called the shadow of the hedonist. And I often say to people, it would really be hard for me to describe to you what's going to happen in this class, but I can tell you that the reason why I do this class is because after the Bringing Sexy Back class, some people have trouble getting there to feeling I'm sexy, I'm fabulous, I'm a rock star. And some people feel incredibly good at the end of that class. And either way, they'll say to me, how can I go to the next step with this? How can I either get past the block or how can I take this to the, even a higher place? And the way that we do it is by looking at the shadow of the extreme, okay? And so this really follows the Debbie Ford work. She wrote a book called The Dark Side of the Light Chasers, which talks about the shadow work, the shadow sides of ourselves. And then she wrote a second book called The Shadow Effect, which Deepak Chopra joined in and wrote a section. Marianne Williamson joined in and wrote a section of The Shadow Effect. And I've even had people go and take it out of the library because I guess there's a DVD that goes with it that you can get at the library. And the reason that these two jumped on was to really lend, you know, their reinforcement that doing shadow work, which is strange and weird and scary and often seems, you know, not logical, not like the right thing to do, is the pathway to not only carrying more power in your life, but being able to have more inner peace, like the kind of inner peace which means you can't get knocked off your center very easily, right? So that you've got this energy, this power, this passion in your life, and you can bring that up and integrate it with what we already typically have, which is a lot of smarts, a lot of learning, a lot of know-how. But we want to bring the energy up, right, into more passion, more charisma. And so that's some places that you can do more reading about the gifts of why we look at a shadow and why we do shadow work around it. Because whenever we look at somebody like we're going to do today, we're going to project the shadow out and we're going to look at somebody that you have a very easy time judging and rejecting. And we're going to find the gift in that dark side, in that shadow. And when we do that in this process, we're looking at what's called the hedonist. The gift on the other side of this is a big, open, blasting through a wall of allowing yourself to be more free, more alive, and ask for and receive more pleasure in your life, more attention in your life, more reward in your life, in the form of money or any other types of reward, which include pleasure, relaxation, fun, attention, adoration, all the things that you would find pleasurable, okay? In addition, the pleasure of just feeling powerful. Just feeling powerful feels awesome. And we're talking about the most beautiful sense of non-dominating power. Okay, so the way that we do this is last week we really worked on feeling in ourselves sexy and like a rock star, okay? But today I want you to think of somebody in the media maybe, or a celebrity, or maybe somebody that you know in your life that it's easy to judge, okay, because they're very narcissistic, very hedonist. They're all sex appeal and gimme, gimme, gimme. They're all, look at me, I'm so great, I'm so fabulous, love me, love me, love me. They're all seduction, okay? And so for this process, some people have come up with people like Paris Hilton or Anna Nicole Smith, God rest her soul, or porn stars, you know, people that maybe became a celebrity but really started out as a porn star. anybody that falls in that category for you. So just think of somebody either from celebrity status or the media, or maybe somebody that you have working next to you in your office that really triggers you. And sometimes people say, well, they don't trigger me, but I totally do judge them. Like, I don't give them the time or day. I don't like them. But they have to have this quality of something that you really, really just go, ugh, that's so just over the top, totally wrong, totally immoral. You want to have that reaction to it. Okay? So I want you to really picture that person in your mind's eye, just like you're painting a picture of them, like they're in the room with you. Okay? And they're really doing their thing, right? They're in one of these moments where they're really laying it on thick. Okay? So I want to take a few comments. Give me, you don't have to tell me who it is, but give me your judgments about that person. If you were being really nasty and you are giving yourself permission to just be really personal and kind of nasty, what would you say? Okay, so you can start to, if you want to, give me a few good nuggets on how you see this person and what they're doing. And while I'm looking here, I'm just going to come over to the Q&A. Oh, someone said, go Alfie. Okay, let's see. Quick question on the Q&A. Someone who had an issue with their head. If you skip some of the tapping points, like the top of the head, it's not going to decrease effectiveness. You just want to tap several points. Just tapping enough points to really stimulate the energy system. Okay. And so I'm going to come to some nice biting words to Nashua, New Hampshire.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, it's Steve. I work with this woman who always comes across as very bossy and pushy, loud, obnoxious, and that's what I'm picturing.
Okay. Okay, so you're kind of seeing a slightly different kind of shadow. You're seeing what we call the enforcer shadow of somebody. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay, but I want you to just, you know, see if because it's the words I'm going to use aren't going to match that exactly. Okay, so just see if you can, this is great information for you, because what it means really specifically for you, that for you the biggest shadow that you have is owning your inner bossy side. So it's hard for you to sort of be that way, right? And the gifts of the somebody who even though they're doing it in a negative way, owns their power that way. So I want you to just kind of try the process again, you know, sort of say, okay, I see you, and that really bugs me, and just see if you can retune back in to somebody who's more on the sexy, needy, I want pleasure, give me what I want, seducing the world, and, you know, and it can be a male or a female for you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Sometimes the shadows that are more important for us to deal with will pop up first, right? And if you look at Debbie Ford's Dark Side of the Light Chasers, you'll know just what to do with that shadow that popped up. Okay, I'm coming to New York to Alfie.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if I really get the whole point, but my thing is what really, really frosts me are the people who have a lot of money and they use that as an excuse. They get away with things. They can steal. They can lie. They can do all this stuff, give it to me for free, use their looks, I guess in a lot of ways their body, like everything is open to them, there are no consequences, and don't get me started about the blondes.
Okay, so a little bit, I hear like entitled, they think they're entitled.
Yes.
Because of their money gives them this power,
right.
And that makes them entitled, they'll use anything they have. And so what would you say about the blondes? Except for the beautiful conscious blondes that are on this call.
Yes, no offense.
Yeah.
No, but
we're talking about stereotypes,
the
right?
The stereotype of the blondes have more fun, the blondes get more attention, that kind of thing that just froths my nerves.
Okay, so what I want you to do is, as I take some more comments, is I want you to really picture a blonde, and I don't want you to just think about this the standard thing that says blondes have more fun, blondes get more attention. I want you to picture a blonde saying, give me more attention, doing things that get her that attention, acting like there's no consequences, okay? Oh, I just want to have fun. Hey, guys. Okay, I want you to really picture someone doing that and feel the resistance and the judgment that you have about it even stronger.
Okay.
Great. Awesome. Awesome. Okay, and I promise you on the other side of this exercise is going to be amazing gifts. Okay, I'm coming to London, Ontario.
Hi, Margaret?
Hello. Yes.
You're there. Great. You know, I just love you, but I'll try to be brief. I'm picturing ex-husband's ex-wife, blonde, just amazingly narcissistic, flirted with him while we were married, flirted with everyone, thought she deserved a birthday party and not the 16-year-old son I was going to throw a party for. Oh, all these years, and we said that, picture the blonde, she's the one who came up, I hate her. Is this appropriate?
Absolutely, okay?
Okay.
And so, you know, for you, while we're talking, write down some more specific things, because it's the cherry on top, that thing that what really, like Alfie said, what really froths me. And so I want you to get to that specific attribute, and you know, get maybe a couple more down, you know, that so she's entitled, she's narcissistic.
It's all about her.
Yeah,
all about her.
All about her, okay? And so, you know, give it some more judgments about, you know, what would you say about somebody like that? What would the judgment be? Right?
Oh,
like,
you bitch. I mean, excuse my language. Yeah, I mean, if I could say anything to her, I'd say, you bitch. How dare you? You know, you'd betray your own child for your own selfish desire.
Okay, awesome. So those are, everyone gets something really specific for them. Okay, I'm going to write that one down, betray your own child. Because it's going to be interesting to see the gift that you get out of this, okay? Awesome.
Oh,
awesome.
I'm with you. I'm glad.
It's like, this will be a surprising one. Okay, I'm going to do one more Rockland, Mass.
Hi, Margaret. It's Casey.
Hello.
I'm picturing the CEO of the company that I worked at a couple of years ago, Contract Recruiting, and this guy is a total narcissist with Napoleon tendencies who thinks that he's amazingly self-evolved when he's like the emperor with no clothes on. No one will tell him he's naked. He's incredibly cruel. He beats people's spirits down. He thinks that he's the most intelligent person in the room, in any room that he's in. He's just nasty, nasty, nasty. He doesn't take a paycheck, but instead he runs all of his expenses through his business. And while he's buying new BMWs and, you know, treating himself to the good life and the best lunches and the best trips and is always tanned, he's firing people who make $10 an hour because they're working too much overtime.
Okay, so kind of like the first caller, the first thing that popped up for you is what we really call the enforcer shadow. Okay, so it's the dark side of the leader when we look at the profile work, Reese's profile work. So you're seeing somebody that's a little more cruel. They're definitely narcissistic, but they've got more of this enforcer quality than a hedonist quality. Okay, so I want you to just kind of see that, because that means that the biggest shadow for you is somebody who puts themselves first, right? Treats themselves, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And I just want you to notice that, but I want you to see if you can try it again and tune into another shadow of somebody who is more of a seductress, right? Somebody who, or seducer, that is narcissistic, but in this hedonistic way. Okay, that has more of a sort of seducing sexual slant for this exercise.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah, so, you know, your mind is always going to paint you a picture of the shadow that's biggest for you, because that's the type of person that you judge the hardest. And the essence of the shadow work says that the person that you, the quality that you see in other people that you judge the hardest, that you push the hardest against, that you say, I would never in a million freaking years be like that. Okay? That's the quality in you that you refuse to ever own. So we push it way down into our shadow and say, I am nothing like that. The problem with that is we can't just get rid of qualities of ourselves like that because they have a dark side and a light side. So we really throw out the baby with the bathwater when we refuse to ever be like someone who's a narcissist. That means we can never get the gift of the narcissist in our life, which I know might sound strange right now. Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to jump in and we're going to be looking at this person and we're going to really voice this judgment. Okay, so just tapping through the points. There they are. Ooh, they really frost me. Really annoy me. Look at them. So narcissistic. Self-absorbed. Flirting. Wanting attention. It's all about you, isn't it? So entitled. How dare you? I totally judge them. And I totally should. I am right about this. Lots of people would agree with me. They really disgust me. Disgust me. All flirting and seducing. All fun and party. All drugs and drinking. Party, party, party. All sex. Sex and sexuality. All seduction. No morals. No morals. Using their body, using their sexuality, using their power to get what they want. Ugh. I totally judge you. Totally judge you. I condemn you for being so selfish, so unconscious, so clueless about other people, so amoral. I would never be like that. I will never be anything like you. You're everything I can't stand. And I'm right about that. I judge you, I judge you, I judge you. And I feel good about judging you. I condemn you. There's nothing in me that looks anything like you. I totally reject and judge you. In your narcissistic, seductive ways. Your selfish, all about you ways. Your entitled ways. It's obnoxious. And I am so right about this. And truthfully, I'm a much better person. Okay, and take a nice deep breath. Okay, did not feel fabulous. We voice things very honestly when we're tapping with Margaret Lynch. Okay, so I want you to look at the person again. Picture them in your mind's eye. And see how they look now. Okay? What's different about them? something will be different. Now, if you're feeling even stronger, the judgment and the push, that's okay. You want to just keep doing the tapping, keep refusing, keep judging them. Okay? So I want you to see how they look now. What's the difference? I'm coming to Cranford, New Jersey.
Hello?
Yep, that's you.
Hi. You know what? I had difficulty relating to this exercise in the first place. And so I don't feel like I got well, the person didn't change at all, and I don't know if I used the right person because I used Donald Trump. And so that wasn't the sexy part. And then after I heard you correct the other people, I still was searching for who this person would be the whole time.
Okay, so yeah, so your mind is kind of like resisting a little bit. Right? And so, you know, it's okay. You're going to have the recording. I really would encourage you to try the process from the beginning again and
okay.
See, you know, if you take a few minutes, because maybe, you know, I'm not quite sure what's happening with you, right? But there might be a resistance to really even looking at someone who carries their sexuality in a very overt way.
Okay,
so just see, you know, there's all sorts of people, you know, there's porn stars, there's all sorts of train wreck celebrities, right, that are constantly using their body and their sexuality and doing, you know, very bad things. So I want you to kind of come up with someone and see if you can get up some judgment about that, okay?
Okay,
because again, your focus kind of more on a shadow that clearly has some importance for you, which would be like a more of an enforcer, a Donald Trump type, you know, and that's okay. You know, we definitely can work around that shadow too. It's the exact same process. We voice the judgment and then we get the gift. So why don't you keep working with Donald? So when you look at him now, he doesn't look any different to you?
Very slight, but I guess I was just worrying about the other part was I was getting it right, the exercise.
Yeah, so if you look at him now, do you feel any differently seeing him there? Does it seem as intense that he's whatever he was, selfish or entitled?
No, I don't feel like he's as intense now.
Okay, so the tapping is kind of designed to sort of bring that down, and we see them a little bit more human. Okay, so does he look a little bit more human now?
Well,
like not as much reason to like to hate him, kind of a thing.
I don't know if I could give an opinion on that because I feel like I never like cheated and hated him, but when that I was searching for a person that he was the first person that came up. So
yeah, Yeah, definitely go to somebody that triggers a response from you. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for that response,
okay?
So the more the response is, the better the process will work, right?
Okay, thank you.
Awesome, but yeah, thanks for bringing it up because there, you know, maybe some people who are feeling the same way. Okay, I'm coming to L.A. Christy?
Hi, Christine.
Hello.
Hi. So good to be on this call. I got a good one. Mine's my sister, and I have been watching her in her kind of addiction, and she's very, very seductive with people. And so when we were tapping through it, what was interesting was that what came up for me is halfway through, it switched to a friend of hers that I just can't stand either, who's very mean to me, and or she's just, you know, she's rude. And so I know, like on an intellectual level, I know that my sister's going through a lot right now, and I do understand that she's going through her process and whatever. That's like the higher self part of me, but the lower self part of me still can't stand her.
How does it look now? How does she look now?
She looks medium. And it's really interesting because, like I said, I can flip into my higher self part and I can flip into my lower self part. So she's kind of in the middle there. And I know I need to let it go. I know it's time to let it go. But I guess I need to do more tapping around it. And I thought it was interesting that her friend, I started tapping on her friend in the middle of it.
Yeah, our minds will switch. We'll bring up, we'll like, well, she doesn't feel too strong, and then we'll bring in the next person. We'll just immediately arrive in the chair, right? As I say, like the next person popped right up. So, you know, so you want to be, allow yourself, especially when it's a family member like that, will sort of feel guilty about voicing. And so with tapping, it really makes it safe to just move that energy. You know, as bad as it might sound, I always say, give yourself permission to sound really terrible, you know, and just let yourself voice it so that you can sort of be free of that sort of negativity, because it's really about you. This whole process is about you, not really about them. Okay, so it's powerful to do it because it's about you. We don't see anything that we don't have. And when we see a shadow in somebody else that we really want to push against and judge and be nothing like, we are pushing against a piece of us, and we can never be whole. And as a matter of fact, we often have to be overboard to prove that we're nothing like that. Okay? And that shuts off a big chunk of our energy. Okay? So, you know, this is where a lot of people will go and read some of Debbie Ford's work, because this is very strange to talk about. And again, if you were to get the shadow effect, read the whole section. That beginning of it is Deepak Chopra, where he really explains. I almost feel like I have to sell it to people on why this is so powerful to do this work. And it's so powerful for each of us personally. It really changes your level of personal power when you can do shadow work. So awesome. So keep working it. I'm going to just come for one more. I'm going to come to Jimena, who's calling from Chile.
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
Hello. At the beginning, it was very difficult for me to get somebody. And I think it was the first girl that talked about the ex-wife of his ex-husband, I realized that while I was married, my husband and I had a lover, and I picked her because she's very different from me, and she uses these very tight clothes and everything, big boobs and everything.
Mm-hmm.
After the tapping, when I saw her, she was laughing at me, like saying, "You're the fool," something like that.
Okay. Like, so you're still, what you're feeling now is now you're really in battle with her, right?
Well, I was very angry at her.
Yeah. Okay.
About tapping.
Yeah, so I want you to keep tapping, right? And we're going to do it. I'm getting a lot of comments from people on the webcast. You guys are sending in some great comments about all of the negative things. and people even saying, you know, I was this way when I was younger. And I was made to believe I was bad because of it, right? People starting to see, like, now I'm seeing them a little bit more human or compassionate or even a little bit more needy. But we'll do another round to make sure we get there, okay? So thanks, Jimena. Okay, awesome. Okay, so we're just going to tap again, okay? There they are. And I still judge them. People like that really are a negative force in this world. It's hurt me in my life. And it's hurt a lot of people. People like that should be condemned. They should be fixed in some way. Or maybe they should just be fixed. They're over the top, attention seeking. Sometimes they destroy marriages and families. And I do judge them. I'm angry at them. When I see someone like that, or I remember this person, I get so angry. Because not only are they totally immoral, but they're getting things. They're getting things. They're getting attention, and that's just wrong. They're getting loved by people, and that is just wrong. They're living a life of pleasure and spoils of the rich. And that is wrong. They're getting other people's partners. It's so wrong. I am outraged. I don't want anything to do with this quality. I don't want anything to do with them. Maybe I was even like that once. And it really hurt people. Maybe it even hurt me. I refuse to see the light in this. There's no light side. I refuse to see the gift in this. They have no gift for me. I refuse to let this go. I'm going to hate this forever. I'm going to be a shining example of not this. And I'm going to make sure that I'm never like that. And if somebody accuses me of being like that, even a little bit, selfish or narcissistic or wanting attention, or flirty, that will really make me angry. If someone suggests that I want things for me, pleasure and fun and attention and sex, that will really make me angry. That will really push my buttons. I don't ever want to be like that. Okay, and take a nice deep breath. Okay, and so I want you to look at the person again and just see how you feel now looking at them. See if we've turned down some of that push, some of that refusal. Okay? And so here's the question. Now, I know that they're doing it in a very negative way, and I'm not suggesting you would act that way, okay? They may even be truly immoral, right? And doing bad things. But what does a person like that, what do they get to experience? What do they get to have? And I want you to write down at least three or four things. What do they get to experience in the light side? What do they have the joy of receiving or experiencing in their life? Okay, these are the gifts. Okay, I'm going to come to Yolanda.
Hey, Margaret. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Well, it was very interesting because when you first asked the question at the very beginning, my eyes got really blurry right away, like I couldn't see it. I put my glasses on and I still couldn't see it. It's like I really didn't want to look at this. And
wow.
Then you know, I started to work with it, and then somebody who's a friend of mine popped up, and parts of myself when I was younger. So that was, I was definitely seeing that. And a friend popped up, and she's a mom, you know, she's a divorced mom, a single mom, and you know, she was just like on all our husbands, you know, very, very upsetting. And I felt guilty because I just always saw it as an insecurity, as a neediness. But, you know, there was this part of me that didn't want to judge. So I was really, uptight about it. And so we started to tap. She looked a little bit, I felt a little more compassion after the first round. And now I see that, you know, there's, after this last tapping, the question that you asked is, I feel that there's a lot of freedom in being like this, and ability to have fun and sort of enjoy life rather than, you know, be so guarded and uptight that, that nothing's flowing through.
Okay, great. So freedom, flowing, which is like not being so guarded. What else? What else, what do you think that when in that moment, again, I know they're doing it in kind of a negative way, right? And there's probably, you know, a consequence at some point in their life. But in that moment, when they're acting that way and they're getting what they want, what else do you think she experiences?
Well, she experiences power. And also, as we started through to tap through this last round, she started to morph into a lot of different people. You know, a lot of different people that I have secretly carried this resentment against, including parts of myself, like when I was younger as well. So I would imagine that there's a lot of power in being able to ask for exactly for what you need.
Mm-hmm. And I want you to think about, and this is for everybody, what's the quality of that power? It's not the same as a corporate CEO making a decision with millions of dollars, right? It's kind of a juicy power, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of a fun, sexy, seductive, you know, it's a juicy, bubbly power.
Right.
Because she's sort of seducing and getting what she wants and getting whatever it is, attention, right? And again, I want to just separate the fact that when a person's doing that, you know, from their lower self in a negative way, there's probably consequences in their life. But in that moment, what does she get to feel that you never let yourself feel? And that's the gift in the shadow work. Okay. So I'm going to take a few more comments, but here's what I want you to start doing is I want you to start to see, to basically turn her into you, that there's a part of you who's just like her.
Right.
Who wants to feel free and sexy and feel this seductive power and get what she's wanting. And not like the things that make sense and are practical, right? She's wanting things that are just like pleasure for her.
Right, outrageous, selfish, and those are all my judgments, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, of course you have a very selfish side, right?
Yes.
We all do. And so I want you to, in your mind's eye, turn her into you, and I want you to see the part of you that looks just like her, and it might trigger some more judgment, and that's okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to come back to Hamina. How are you doing now?
Better. They kind of disappear or turn their back to me. They're not laughing anymore. And the qualities that I saw is power, pleasure. They get a lot of attention. They get what they want. But I still have a problem with the power because I still feel that it's a power that you get from using other people.
Yeah, so in the way I know that is because she's turned her back to you. When you're visualizing somebody and doing this kind of tapping and suddenly they turn their back to you in your mind's eye, that's
uh-huh.
just showing you that you still have a lot of judgment there.
Okay.
Okay? So you know, so this is really important for you because it's showing you that no, it is not okay for me to use power that looks like I'm using other people for that power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so that's probably happened to you in your life where somebody used you as a source of their power and success, right? So
mm-hmm.
So this is a big shadow for you.
Yeah.
And this is a real sticking point. It's like I have a real specific rule around power, and I'm not mm-hmm. saying that it's right to, like, suck power off of people, right?
Uh-huh.
But in certain circumstances, would that be a gift if you could let yourself lean on somebody and let their power prop up and support yours?
Well, that would be great.
Do I do that on a weekly basis to Reese? Yeah. Okay? And it's an agreement we have. Right? I'm not secretly draining his power. It's an agreement
okay.
that it's a give and a take in that partnership relationship. Does that happen sometimes with my friends where you're almost like energetically saying, can I lean on you and use your power, to give me some of your power to prop me up? We do that all the time. You know,
uh-huh.
what but you've got a belief in there because we can see how hard you're pushing against it in the other person, which says, no, I will never, ever, ever, ever use someone else's power. ask
right.
for it, want it, be it, right?
Okay.
Awesome. I love how this gets very, very specific. Okay, I'm going to come to, I think, Casey in Rockland.
Hey there.
Hello.
After we had the first talk about the CEO, I pictured a friend of mine and started going through it. And then when you were talking about, you know, having sex and drugs, I was like, oh, okay, that doesn't really fit her. And Kim Kardashian popped into my mind, and that felt comfortable. And then we did the second time tapping around, and you changed the language a little bit, and it was less like hardcore sex and more about just that sensuality, sexuality. I pictured my friend again, and she was the type who would sort of come in between you and a guy dancing when you were younger and sort of steal the guy away, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I remembered at her wedding when I was like the single girl, and I was kind of doing that at her wedding. And, of course, for me at that time, I was just very needy, needing attention. And her sister actually was like, you're trying to steal my boyfriend. And I completely forgot about all this because it was like 15 years ago. But all of a sudden going through this tap, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I can completely see the shadow. And now I see where I was coming from. So it makes it a little bit easier now for me to see the shadow piece of it. And then the gift was when I thought back to her doing it, and Kim Kardashian for that matter, I thought adoration, attention, pleasure, sensuality. And the pleasure and sensuality pieces are definitely something that I'm really struggling with right now. So I can see the whole connection of the shadow and the gift piece with that. So that was really cool.
Yeah, awesome. It really puts a laser focus on the thing that you're not allowing yourself to have.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, we're kind of looking again. When you're looking at the shadow, you're looking at your second chakra. And by the way, at the second chakra, morality does not exist yet. It's all, you know, it's like animal down there, right? It's all about sex and power and eat or be eaten, and right? And so it doesn't mean that we shouldn't have our morality, but it's the integration, okay? When we decide to have morality, we call everything in the second chakra shameful.
Yeah.
Right? Even the desire to have attention and adoration and power, right? If I didn't let myself own that I have that part of me and let myself carry that field, carry that being, carry that desire that I have, I would have no real interest in getting up on stage.
It's
right?
funny
I'd be
though.
Out there just to teach a certain reason, which is okay, you know, to be like a teacher, but there's 20 reasons I want to get up on that stage. And if I'm being totally honest, most of that reason and drive that would make me prepare and spend hours and get ready and do all the things you have to do to get on stage, a lot of them are second chakra. Like, I can't wait to feel like a rock star and to have people adore me, right?
But I feel a real separation. Like, I am a total love to be the center of attention, love to get up on stage. In the work that I do with my clients, doing workshops and stuff, I absolutely eat that up. But it's like, for me, I'm very specific. I'm realizing now that I love to be adored and get attention for things that I'm saying and things that I'm helping to, you know, like, help my clients to get through and, you know, epiphanies that they're having and discoveries and all this, you know, all this great emotional stuff that's going on. Transformation is the word that's been on the tip of my tongue. So, like, that part of it I love, but it's funny. I don't think, like, I don't, so I'm comfortable with the idea of the stage, but the sexuality piece of it is where I get mucked up. And yet I love to wear a great boob shirt because I have great boobs, but I'm sitting here and through every single one of these calls, Margaret, I feel the need to eat while we're having these sessions. And I just noticed that today. I'm like, oh my goodness, here I am eating comfort food again. What is this all about? Like, I'm trying to stuff that down still. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, so, you know, so you found a way to get attention and adoration and enjoy it, but you've got rules about it. They can't be the shameful ways. They can be the you know, they can be because I'm smart, because I achieved something, right? So you let yourself enjoy it there, but you don't let yourself enjoy the other side of it, which is just the pleasure for me, not because I did anything, you know, and that's where the judgment comes. It's like, well, it's shameful to do that, to want that, to be that. And it's easiest to see it when we look at a shadow that we really, it makes it easy for us to judge and push that person away. Right. So for you, it's going to come, you're fine up on stage, and then in your personal one-to-one relationships, what you're willing to ask for and be, right, as far as just pleasure for you in your life. So, you know, and that's what's great about this work is that everyone gets something that's really, really specific for them, even though we've got like 1,000 people all doing it at the same time. I'm just going to kind of come to the webcast again. Okay, and so seeing, some people are getting to jealousy, right? And so when you're getting to jealousy, that it's awesome. So now I want you to, if you've got jealousy, you know, you're going to have the recording of this, definitely keep doing some tapping on the jealousy, because you really are seeing that there's something that they have that I really freaking want, and I don't let myself go after it. Okay, so jealousy is actually a fabulous emotion for you to have, because it's showing you, I want something that I don't let myself have. And when you want something that you see so clearly that you're jealous of it, it's not random. It's a quality that you were wired to have. It's a pleasure that you were wired to want. We're not jealous about random things, right? And so when you're jealous about something, it's like laser focus. I know what I want, but I don't ever let myself have it. And the reason is because of all this judgment and programming, okay? So we're going to do another round of tapping, and I want to see if we can start to sort of get the gift from this person. So I want you to imagine that you're looking at this person, and now they turn right into you. It's a mirror image of you, but maybe it looks a little different from you, because it's the part of you that's exactly like them. It's not very evolved, and it doesn't have your higher self sensibilities and practicalities and judgments. It's the part of you that's your hedonist, that's your narcissist, that is all about me, all about me, totally selfish, totally self-absorbed, okay? We all have one. It's one of our inner archetypes. Okay, maybe it's just a 12th of you or a 6th of you. But I want you to see this part of you, and we're going to do another round of tapping, because I know it's going to trigger some more judgment. Okay, the judgment sometimes comes right back up. Okay, so tapping through the points. Oh, I don't want to see this part of me. I feel all my judgment back again. I don't want to see this. There's no way I really have this part. If I do, I condemn it. Condemn it completely. It's amoral. It's over-sexualized. It's needy, attention-seeking, a narcissist, doesn't even care that much about other people. It's a part of me that's selfish. How dare you be so selfish? How dare you put yourself first? I totally reject you, totally judge you and your entitlement, your attention seeking, your desire for feeling power. It's disgusting, over the top, and not very spiritual. Inappropriate. Totally inappropriate. Disgusting. That part of me would embarrass me. Embarrass me. Out of control. Doesn't worry about consequences. Just a total narcissist. A hedonist. I don't want anything to do with this part. If this part came up, if I let this part out of the locked box I keep it in, my life would probably be ruined. I don't trust it, and I shouldn't. I've met it before in me, and that's why I locked it in a box. It's really hard to see this part of me. I really don't want to be have a lower self. I'd rather just be saintly and spiritual. A good person. Appropriate. I really don't want to have this lower self. Okay, and take a nice deep breath. And I want you to now look at this part of you again, just like we did with the shadow. Okay? Now, you already wrote down some of the gifts of that shadow when I said, what does that person get to experience? Okay? So now I want you to look at this archetype in you. Okay? What does he or she really want? Now, the tapping we just did is designed to take that judgment way down so that you can see them a little more compassionately. And when the judgment comes down, it's easier to see, what does she really want? Your inner hedonist. Okay? And I'm going to come to Alfie.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Good Lord. Mm. Hey, oh, God. The first thing was I got real puzzled because when we started the process, I saw that this person, these people, were no longer a threat. And if other than the immoral things, why couldn't I do that? And what's wrong with it? And how could I do that and not feel bad or wrong and judged? And all these different things came up. And then I started hearing myself saying, you know, I'm tired of seeing myself. I'm not a victim, and I have this power, and I'm tired of not owning who I really am and caring about, you know, what other people see. And then on the, you said, what do you get in the light side? I said, I get freedom for doing what I want and really enjoying my life, not being self-conscious. I get attention. I'm able to impact other people's lives. I'm able to ask and get what I ask for and not feel obligated. And then when we just did, as we started tapping, I said, what comes up in me is being confrontive and in your face about, you know, get off of my back about all this crap. And I enjoy preferential treatment. I get that a lot anyway, but I always feel bad about it and always feel like I have to defend myself. And the biggest thing about the archetype, I think, in me is the ability to really influence people and the fact that I know all these things are part of who I've been and just kind of stepped aside from because I really felt a lot of insecurities from other people and took all that into myself. Done.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so awesome, you know. And when we, depending on the shadow that we look at, right, we'll get different gifts. If we pick one that's really sexual, we'll get gifts that are more there. If we look at them that are more powerful, we'll get different. But I think even as you started out, you're already like halfway there, right? You're like, wait a minute, I would like to have some of that. And that's awesome. it often takes us many rounds to get there because we've built a lifetime rejecting that part, rejecting it in other people and rejecting it in ourselves.
Well,
so
I spent
awesome.
The whole week feeling real sexual, so this kind of just obviously popped out.
Right, right. And that's why people say, how do I go from here? I'm like, well, from here, we look at the hedonist. We look at someone who's 10 times more overly sexual and see what happens when you look at that and see if there's even more gifts for you in there. So awesome. Awesome feedback.
Cool.
Very, very good. Okay, I'm coming to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Hi, it's Wendy.
Hello.
I have kind of a weird thing that's happening with me with this. And
it does trigger weird stuff. Really does.
So I am somebody, I know that I have a part of me, I will do anything to get what I want at certain times. And I've been the other woman, I've done some pretty bad things to get what I want. And I kind of feel like I don't have enough shame about that part of me. But I'm also looking at what I was really jealous about this person, you know, this my person, that they had money, adoration, and I felt like anything they wanted they could get, which, you know, is power.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm thinking, you know, I've gotten this adoration, but it's always been really warped and not really the kind of love that I wanted. And I see
yeah,
that I really want love and just to be seen. So I'm.
Yeah. So this is great for you, right? Because you definitely own your shadow quality, and a lot of people who have that charismatic leader, we call the seductive charismatic leader. They're
yeah.
like, oh yeah, I've definitely done that, but you did it from the shadow. You didn't
yeah.
really go all the way for what you wanted. You still went for what you thought you could get based on how deserving we feel we are. So you
mm-hmm.
went for, you went for the easy relationship, but not the real one that you wanted. You know, not the person that totally respects you and wants you and wants you to be their queen, right?
Yeah.
So your gift is going to be a little different. It's like, you know, you have that seductive quality, but you want to step up from the, you know, from the tramp to the queen, right?
Right.
From getting a little of attention in a halfway decent nightclub to Broadway, right? You're like, I want the whole shebang now, right? And so,
exactly.
And I'm
feeling like, I have been doing some shadow work recently, so I was really excited about this call. But, and I'm feeling like everything is coming up a little bit, but not quite enough because of, you know, I feel like it's really getting blocked in my third chakra. And,
yeah. So third chakra means.
Because I can't get quite, you know, ashamed of myself because I've kind of actually, at some times in my life, I've felt like, you know, justified in being amoral.
Yeah, so,
so
and shame's not really the motivator we're looking
yeah,
for, right?
Yeah,
and
so I'm not really sure where I'm going with this. And
I feel like
there's something I really can't look at there, too.
Yeah, so third chakra means this is my identity. So I would have to take a pretty big step up in saying that I'm powerful to go from, you know, the seductress playing in a small way to the frickin' queen. And you're going to have some resistance to that. Because
yeah.
if you become the queen, you're carrying a whole lot more power.
Yeah, I actually am like shaking when I hear you say that. And I feel that that's exactly where I am in my life right now.
Yeah, now in the qualities of the queen archetype, you can look up in Carolyn Mace, you know, you can Google Carolyn Mace, M-Y-S-S,
mm-hmm.
and the queen archetype, which is one of the archetype types for the power side, the queen is entitled, right? But where does she get that entitlement? She gets that entitlement because she has awesome, she is born into it in a way, right? But she's regal. She's the opposite of trampy. right? She's got this sovereignty about her and this responsibility about her. And so you want to step into, you know, exactly what we're going to do next is what you're talking about. We're going to create an archetype for everybody that they want to start stepping into that can come, you know, in any range. It can be just a powerful person. It can be more, the more sexual archetype. But you want to get the gift from this for you is going to be stepping into this seductive quality that you have in a bigger, more powerful way for the woman who gets what she really wants, not just what she wants for the weekend.
Yeah. And I'm really, yeah, that sounds great. I'm really, and I'm also, what's coming up is like, it really all comes down to my not feeling worthy, you know, at the bottom of it.
Yeah. You're like, I'm worthy to a point.
Yeah.
I am worthy to a point, and so I go just for that, right? And I know I can get it. So you know you've got some power there to get it, but there's still a little bit of victim in there for you. To go into the queen, you step pretty far away from being a victim.
Yeah.
Right? And you get to step into that I am the queen quality.
Yeah.
And,
that's a
and
big
remember
step.
Yeah, and when remember, are you in a relationship now?
No.
Okay, so as you attract somebody, a partner in relationship, when you finally own that you are the queen, then you will find the team player that is dying to treat someone like a queen. And they will come into the relationship with you, and the two of you will both agree that we love each other, and we're there for each other, and we have a reciprocal relationship, but we both know that I'm the queen. Does that make sense?
Sounds like me, yeah.
Okay. And you'll, instead of attract somebody who battles with you, you'll get somebody
who like treats me like a queen on the one hand, and at the other, you know, is like, you know, lying and deceiving, you know, on the other hand. So.
Yeah, and this is kind of an interesting thing because a lot of women who are the other woman, right, they're in the moment, the guy that they're cheating with, you know, who's married to somebody else, treats them like a queen in those moments that they're there, but they're not actually being treated like a queen because a queen would never, you know, take that. They would never take somebody else's scraps. You know, they want the whole deal.
Yeah.
And so it's an interesting quality that we find. They'll say to me, but Margaret, when we're together, he treats me like gold. And it's like, well, I want you to take a step up from that picture. What do you want to be? How gold do you want to be treated in the bigger picture of your life? Because you're getting gold on a, you know, on a Saturday night every other weekend.
Right.
So it's stepping into what do I really want and how much power do I really want to carry in my life? Awesome. That's awesome. I love it. I love the queen. Go look up the queen energy on Carolyn Mace's archetypes. Okay. And so I will take some more comments, but I want us to do the next exercise first. Okay. I want you to now kind of take a nice deep breath and close your eyes. Because this is really important. And I want you to picture yourself again. This is the part of you that we just did the tapping on, right? The part of you that's just like that negative shadow that should be looking a little more compassionate. And you've just written down some of the things that this part of you really wants, really needs, really wants to experience. Okay? And I just, before we move on, I want you to really notice this is, mostly you're looking at the second chakra quality, okay? When you don't let yourself have those things that this part wants, it will get them through the shadow. That's where the eating comes in. That's where the shopping comes in. That's where the three glasses of wine comes in. If you don't feed this part, let it get what it wants because you've got all these rules about never wanting that and never asking and never being this side of you, okay? It will find a way to get it in the shadow. And so some of the people who declare and insist that they are the most selfless people in the world, they do everything for everybody, are also people who overeat or overshop or overgift, okay, or gamble or play the victim. Some way of getting the attention, the pleasure, in a different way. And it's a way that you have a hard time controlling, right? It's like, why can't I just turn that off? I watch myself doing it. And so that's one of the prices that you're paying, is it's going to come out in some of these activities and some of these behaviors that confound you. I just want that consciousness, that awareness, to bring a whole nother level of compassion and understanding for yourself. Because sometimes those behaviors are the things that we also judge ourselves for. Okay? But now what I want you to do is I want you to watch. Just watch this picture of you, because you're about to change. You're about to shift into an archetype, into an image, maybe an archetype from mythology, a god or a goddess, maybe a movie star that you totally idolize, maybe this could be some type of an animal, okay, or a superhero. But I want you to let your mind just paint a picture, the first person that pops in, of an archetype that, unlike the shadow, carries this beautifully. That there is no question in this archetype's mind that they put themselves first, that they get what they want, that they feel sexy and love pleasure, and they feel entitled to getting it. But they carry it in a beautiful, powerful way. Or maybe it is just a power, an archetype that carries power. Maybe for you it's less about the hedonist and the sexuality. Just see the archetype that comes up for you. Now, Carolyn Mace teaches that we have 12 archetypes in us. 12. Okay? So you're getting to see one of your archetypes. Now, the goal in the class was the hedonist, so typically what we're looking for is this beautiful, seductive, but the archetype that pops up for you is going to be full of very specific qualities for you. Okay, so I just want you to see that archetype there. And, you know, I hear a lot of, from different people, you know, they'll even if it's a very sexual, I've often heard Princess Grace. You know, who is someone who is absolutely, was gorgeous and beautiful and completely amazing lady, right? Absolutely, you know, well-spoken and had a lot of philanthropic work and absolutely what we define as a lady or a princess, right? And some people will see, you know, Angelina Jolie, right? Or somebody else that has the quality, the archetypal quality, or Athena, right? Or Aphrodite, goddess of love. And so just see what you've got there. And I want you to really look at that archetype. And imagine that you and that archetype, that version of you that you were looking at, has turned into this archetype. And now you are feeling their energy, the energy of what it's like to be totally channeling this archetype. I just want you to feel that for a minute. And I want you to really describe the archetype. What are the three or four big qualities that stand out about this archetype? Okay. So you can give me some feedback on that, and then we will do one more round of positive tapping to really bring this archetype up and into us in a really powerful way. Okay. Yolanda, who's your archetype?
Well, I had Cleopatra, Aphrodite, Queen Elizabeth. They kind of all kind of came in at the same time. And then at the last minute, Marie Antoinette. And I figured that that was like just the fun and the spontaneity of youth, you know, just having fun.
Yeah. So Cleopatra and who were the other two?
Aphrodite, Queen Elizabeth. Because
two queens. Talk about the queen energy.
I'm talking about, the Queen Elizabeth I, and I figured that meant power, you know, just using power in a very responsible manner and also sensuality. But she was kind of a withholder, I think. I'm not sure. And Cleopatra, you know, also that kind of powerful ruling energy. When I was seeing my other shadow, I had seen like a myself as a queen, but then also kind of a really lower kind of rolling around in the mud kind of thing.
Yeah.
Kind of almost right. Very animalistic and distasteful to this sort of queen part of myself. You know, that I
yeah,
can,
so there's oh, another good, there's another good shadow for you. Okay. So I want you to look at that one because next week we're going to go into sexuality. Right, we're really hammering this second chakra stuff a lot in this class, and so for the queen energy, okay, the queen is the queen all day long and gets everything her way and is fabulous to her subjects. Right, nobody's confused though that she's the queen.
Right,
but in the bedroom. Would the queen sometimes want to play the slave girl? Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay? Because that might be hot and fun and different and crazy. Okay? So you got to see two archetypes. One of them will be like, nah, I don't like her very much. Okay? So of course the queens are going to feel good. So spend a little time looking at that the little slave girl there.
Okay.
She's a little more animalistic. And, you know, once a month on a Saturday night with our partner, is it okay to let that amoral, crazy, sexual archetype hedonist out? Our partners might like that.
Yeah, I would think he would be very happy, yes.
Okay. And you know, people will say, well, you know, what's that going to give me except a fun time on Saturday night? Well, why don't you try it and then you let me know what kind of joy and passion and energizing that brings to your whole life when you can have that kind of fun and that kind of openness. Okay.
Awesome.
Good one. I love that. Okay. Well, slave girl in there. Okay, Hemina.
Hi. It's funny because I had started getting a very hard, strong headache, and now it's gone.
Okay, good. A little resistance there.
I feel much better now.
Good, good.
And I got an animal. I always get animals. And this time it was a white swan.
Ooh, nice. Okay, so very elegant. Right?
Yeah,
very beautiful, but still very pure, okay? White is like the soul light. So I want you to do, and that might be what your headache decided to come up with, okay? So I want you to just look because, you've got a lower self, right?
Uh-huh.
There's a dirtier one in there. I want you to find something that's not so crystal clear and white and doesn't have such perfect feathers. So I want you to, you know, try the process again and see if you can bring up an archetype that balances the beautiful swan, maybe a little more earthy.
Okay.
Okay, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's try.
Okay, because we're looking for this hedonistic quality, right? And so I want you to see if you can bless the swan and ask your subconscious mind to let the swan turn into an archetype that is more female and human. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. Sometimes going to an animal or a different image like that is a way of, like, avoiding a little bit, you know. And so we just, it's good to kind of look and see what else is in there, okay. So I'm going to come to Cranford, New Jersey.
I feel a ton better than when I started, so I'm very grateful and excited about that. And
okay.
My archetypes that came up were Cleopatra. Well, first, actually, I saw an image of a queen, like the crown rising up. And then I was like, well, what queen? And then Cleopatra came. And then, but I really, really love Angelina Jolie. And when I started looking at the qualities, I love the fact that they both seem powerful. The fact that Angelina Jolie will kick your ass. And also, but she has a very sweet and confident side of her, and also very compassionate and has a heart. And I like all of those qualities about her.
Yeah, so, you know, so for you, right, she embodies a lot of, and we know she's human and we know she's flawed, right? We know she's, you know, no one's perfect, but you're really seeing the light. And so whenever you look at an archetype, like we're doing right now, and I have you write down the qualities first so that you,
okay.
Otherwise it'll be harder to do this, to hear this. But what you're looking at in the archetype is your denied light. Okay, the shadow is our denied dark side. I'm nothing like that. The archetype is our denied light. Ooh, that's her. I'm nothing like that. So what you wrote down is you. That's your light quality.
Okay,
okay. Kick-ass, confident, queen energy, compassion, right? There's a softness and a kick-assness,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's you. You just described you. And so I want everyone to look at their list of this archetype, the qualities. You described yourself. That's your denied light. That's the you that you go, oh, well, she's that, but I mean, I'm not that. That's your light side that I want you to step into. Okay, so what we can do is when we need to bring on that energy, we can literally just take a second and picture that archetype and say, I need you to step into my body right now. I need that Cleopatra, that Angelina Jolie. I'm going to visualize her, and I need you to step right into my body. I need to feel that energy come right up. I need to borrow it from you, however you think of it. But I need to bring that forward for what I'm about to do right now, for example. Okay? And the thing about archetypes, you know, they're woven into our entire human history of story. And they affect our mind in a very specific way. You don't have to say, oh, right now I need to feel confident and compassion and kick-ass and vulnerable. When the mind understands an archetype, a billion attributes at once the mind gets, our whole energy system gets. So when you identify an archetype for you, you can focus on that archetype when you need to and say, I need to have this quality step right up, okay? Whether you're, you know, owning your inner slave girl because it's Saturday night with your partner or you're about to step on stage, right? Or you're about to walk through a crowded restaurant with your partner. Like, hey, look at me. I'm owning my red carpet Angelina Jolie right now. That's right. That's right. Okay? And so how fun would that be? It's a lot more fun than just kind of shuffling through the restaurant. Right? So this is the archetype that is about this kind of shadow of the archetype work. It's about what's going to make you have more fun in a more sensual, pleasure-oriented way in your life, in a more powerful way. So that's an awesome one. I love Angelina Jolie too. She's a big one for me. Awesome. Okay. Let's see. Okay, so we're going to do, I want to get another round of tapping in, and then I will take some more comments at the end, okay, like we always do. Okay, so I want you to kind of do that process. Imagine that you could ask that archetype to come and step right into your body. You know, just I was saying before, what would that energy feel like? And what does it feel like, you know? What happened in you when I said those things that you wrote down, that's you. Okay, so what would it be like if you could suspend disbelief for a few minutes and embody those qualities? Okay, so just tapping through the points. I totally honor this archetype, this gift from my higher self of seeing the vision of this archetype, or three or four of them. It's a little confusing, but I'm just going to own it. Feeling more confidence, more power, more seductive. I'm seducing the whole world. Powerful and confident. Strong yet able to be vulnerable. Sexual. Hedonistic, hot, power hungry, even if it's just for a couple hours on a Saturday, loving the adoration, loving the feeling of entitlement, and doing it from my light. Which means I'm conscious. I choose it. Sometimes I'm asking for all of my entitlements. And sometimes I'm serving. Because I honor the people I'm in relationship with. I honor the power of this archetype. The gift in it for me of owning my inner narcissist, my inner selfish side, my inner entitled side, my inner seductive side, my inner hedonist, my inner amoral side. Owning it with consciousness and with choice. When it's denied in my shadow, it plays out in the shadow. When I own it, when I honor it, it becomes light. It becomes something I can say, laugh about, ask for, embody, imbalance with all my other fabulous archetypes, with all my other fabulous qualities. I still get to be brilliantly intelligent. I still get to be saintly in some parts of my life. I still get to be an amazingly compassionate giver. I still get to be those things. But I also own the gifts of my hedonist. The beautiful gifts of this archetype. And all the things it's calling me to do in my life. Calling me to feel. Calling me to ask for. Calling me to have. Power. Pleasure. Sexuality. Adoration. being served and never feeling guilty because I know I'm entitled. I honor this non-dominating kind of power, this beautiful, honoring kind of entitlement. I totally honor all of me right now. Okay, and take a nice deep breath. And I just want you to sit with it for a minute and see if you can really feel that energy moving in your body. Just notice where it is. Where is it moving? Because often it's different from the way we operate the most. If we mostly operate from our heart or from our doing, our thinking, you know, this energy might be moving somewhere else, right? So just let that process a little bit, and I'll take some more feedback from you guys. You can start too if you want to give me some feedback on how this process went for you or that last round. Again, I don't know if I said it at the beginning, but the shadow work, and again, I recommend taking a look at the shadow effect, particularly Deepak Chopra's introduction to the shadow of why it's so important to do shadow work and how it leads to wholeness and integration and more power in your life. And either the shadow effect or the dark side of the light chasers, which is the book before, that really walks you through how to do shadow work. And I do believe that the tapping really amplifies the process, as I keep trying to explain to Debbie and Ariel Ford, that the tapping makes the process go even faster and even easier. Because this is, you know, shadow work is something that 99% of people don't understand, wouldn't do. It's hard to stretch and see the gift in it, but it really, really is amazingly, amazingly powerful. And the people that we started out with, they really don't have the ability to trigger you so much anymore. It's amazing. Another of the gifts is that you don't get so triggered by people. They can't frost you the same way because you look at them and you might say, yeah, you know, I got one of those, you know. And we don't have the need to push so hard against them anymore. Okay, awesome. So I'm going to come to my friend Alfie.
Yes. Yes, I'm here and I am totally surprised. The first person I saw was Marilyn Monroe, and right behind her was Elizabeth Taylor. And I wrote, sexy, seductive, smart, and sweet, meaning they're all powerful. And when you said, that's what, I can't even talk. Oh, my God, what?
That's what
was already in me. I was like, what? Okay.
Right.
Everything for me is, earlier I saw the person I was seeing that really frosted my nerve actually come and stand before me, and I just kind of just looked at her and was like, okay. And then she sat beside me, and I thought, you know, this isn't so bad. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited because I'm looking at it just through all this and listening to everybody, just kind of stripped away from me and my energy all this, like, self-containment that doesn't need to be there for me.
Yeah, right. That we've set up, and we're spending a lot of energy defending it.
Exactly.
Right? Never going to be like that, you know. And so we don't allow ourselves to, you know. There's a lot of freedom that opens up with honoring this, and again, the inner peace that says other people can't push our buttons so much. You know, if someone would said to you, oh, Alfie, you know, you think that you're frickin' Marilyn Monroe, don't you? Now, that wouldn't trigger you.
No.
Right? Before, you might have been like, you know, I'm nothing. I'm not a, you know, all the things that you pushed against that person you were first thinking about, if someone accused you of being that way, it would have really bugged you.
Right.
Right. And it's not that, you know, that we might not want to spend time with somebody who says something negative to us, but we don't go away and think about it for 3 months straight steaming. How dare they say that about me?
Right.
Right. You know, one of my examples is always, you know, I used to go through extreme lengths to prove that I wasn't selfish. And my, when I was married, all my ex would have to do is push that button. If I did one little thing for myself that week, he could just say, insinuate that I was selfish, and I would launch into 1,000 more selfless behaviors to prove I wasn't, okay? And it's so fun and freeing in my life now to be able to say, there, if someone calls me selfish, I am going to go, so true. I am the most self-absorbed person on the planet. I totally own it. I honor it. Of course I'm selfish. I'm human. And sometimes I can be pretty selfless and I can be pretty giving. But I'm never going to pretend that at my core, I'm not a selfish, right? I'm not selfish and uninvolved and animalistic at some level. That is in me. Right. And so, you know, you're really getting to see this, you know, you're a confident, accomplished woman, professional woman, and you've got a pretty big Marilyn Monroe in you. Right.
Yeah. And it helped me also see that there was so much attached to my mother's death that I knew about. But I really saw this part when we were talking about all this, because she had a hard time with her own sexuality. And I always was like just me. And she was always coming down on me, and now with all this, I thought, you know what, I don't care anymore. I'm going to be who I am, and I will just deal with everything else as it comes. I'm tired of locking myself up in a body that doesn't even really belong to me.
Now, are you in a relationship right now?
No.
Okay, so what you get to do now, when once you're open and looking, I don't know if you are, but you get to attract the guy who is dying to treat a woman and see a woman like she's his Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And so, you know, it's kind of like, would it be fun to be in a relationship with a guy who, of course, respects you and values you and sees how brilliant and smart you are, but when those bedroom doors close, he sees a sex bomb. Wouldn't that be kind of fun?
Yeah, and I already have had that as well. I'm divorced, and I mean, I did have that. I guess part of the backlash was that's all I thought I was seen as.
Yeah, so you didn't have the balance,
right?
Right. And so you want both. We want both, right? And because, you know why? Because it's fun. Because it's fun, right? It's otherwise we'll have a relationship that's a very third chakra relationship. It's very about, you know, he respects me and he respects my role and I respect him and we're at the same level and there's not a lot of fire there.
Right.
Okay. But if you have all that and then the bedroom doors close and suddenly it's Antony and Slave Girl or Cleopatra and Antony or, right? Okay, or gigolo and you know, powerful Wall Street attorney woman, when the doors close, you get to have all that fun.
And yeah, because I'm already a queen, I know that.
Yeah, and so it's like, but the gift in that, in your energy, your passion, not just in the bedroom, but your passion in life, your fun in life, it's not just what goes on in the bedroom. It expands out into our whole life in the way
right.
we carry ourselves in our energy, and people feel it when you walk into the room, right? Because we've all seen it in the movies and we've all known somebody who is so uptight, and you know, you hear it said in movies, right? And you might have thought it in your head, like, that person needs to get fill in the blank,
right?
Okay, so we know when somebody's all tight and wound up and not, you know, and it's got this whole sort of school marm or librarian energy, as we say, right? And we also feel it when somebody is alive with every pore of their body. And that's one of the gifts that we get from having that positive, seductive side. Awesome.
Way cool.
Getting a lot of, I'm just going to look at some of the comments here on the webcast because we've got a lot of comments here. Truly fabulous. Starting to physically sit up straight and feel great. I got to know I'm loving this. A lot of people had Angelina. She's not afraid. And different gifts. Everyone will get a different gift from Angelina. Not afraid to be different. Not afraid to be an outsider. Goddess Diana, a queen looking regal, Meryl Streep. Now that's really cool, right? And so there's a real specific aspects of Meryl Streep that you wanna find. Someone had said, what about a prostitute? Okay. I don't know if this is your gift side or I think it's your gift side. So yeah. So what are the gifts in the prostitute? Talk about a hedonist, right? So see if you've got any more negative judgment when you see a prostitute. And that's a really great hedonist to do some tapping about, okay? Because even that prostitute quality has a gift for you, okay? And by the way, if you study Carolyn Mace, again, it's M-Y-S-S. She is a longtime author, visionary in the energy medicine field. She teaches that there's five archetypes that we all have no matter what, okay? And one of them is the prostitute. Because every single one of us has an inner prostitute. There's something that we will sell out for. There's something that we will negotiate and sell out for. And in her system, the gift of the prostitute is really knowing your value in the marketplace. Isn't that cool? Okay. The other shadows is the prostitute, the saboteur, the child, the victim, and there's one other one that somebody will remember or it'll come to me. Okay, somebody got Audrey Hepburn and Johnny Appleseed, close to nature, does exactly what he wants, whistling away, and then got Audrey Hepburn, elegant, sophisticated. That's the word I was looking for, sophisticated for Princess Grace. Someone got a black female cat. Oh, someone mentioned for Hamina Swan's mate for life. Okay. Some people getting sedultry, seductive, medicine woman. Okay. So I'm going to come back to the phone lines here and take a couple more comments here. Okay. I'm coming to Cranford, New Jersey.
Yay! I just feel 1,000 times better. I just need to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much because how I feel energetically in my body. I don't feel like I don't have the adequate words. But I'm in a park because I was coming from work, and every time I would move my car, it would be next to, I would be alone at first, and then there would be other cars, and then people would be looking at me tapping, and I would be worried about it. But after we did this archetype and all this stuff, I was like, I do not care at all.
If it'll get me more attention, I'll do it.
Yes,
okay.
I was like, I do not care. And that there was a part of my life in my 20s where I felt like that. I made a decision that I was going to be happy no matter what. And whatever I felt like and wanted to do in that moment, I did it. And that was the happiest part of my life. And I wanted to get back. I'm like, I don't know how I lost it, but I wanted to find that part of me again, and I feel like I have. So I just wanted to thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Awesome. And remember, you know, we'll get this fear come up that says, if I turn into this hedonist, my life's going to spin out of control. And so, you know, even for her, you want to remember that, you know, but owning that quality again, that's like, I'm going to do what makes me happy no matter what. You still have your life experience, your perspective, your heart, your conscience. And so you're going to know that if that comes up against doing something that I really want to do in this moment that would hurt somebody else, right, you're going to be able to make that choice. We're not going to turn into a truly narcissistic person. But the idea is that you get to feel that, you get to ask for it, you get to honor it, and it gets to be in balance in your life with the part of you that's very caring about other people and very responsible, right? Often when we did it when we were in our teens or 20s, you know, we kind of had we had no responsibility and no perspective, and we didn't care about consequences and stuff, right? So we're sort of bringing back that teenage wild child quality in a way that we can really just enjoy the hell out of it in our life for no other reason except that we can enjoy the hell out of it in our life, which is the best reason. Okay, Christy, Los Angeles. So, Kristen, your name gets shortened on my screen, so it looks like Christy.
That's all right. I just wanted to say thank you so much. And I got at first
Kate Blanchett in The Lord of the Rings, and I got Sofia Vergara. Do you know who she is?
Oh, yeah. Modern Family. We love her.
She's fabulous, and what I love about her is that she's so sensual and so sexy, and she has such a great sense of humor.
Right.
And that's one of the things that I'm really excited about embodying more of, is the sense of humor, because to me that's really living so much out of joy too, and to be sexy and have a sense of humor is amazing.
Yeah.
So anyway,
you know, you see her do things in that show where it's her choice, you know, like I just watched the episode where she kind of like her husband needs help with this obnoxious new owner of a business. And so she's like, I can solve this problem, because he keeps saying, wow me. So at the end, you see her delivering the same presentation in a low cut shirt.
Yeah.
You know, and she's totally into it. She's like, I am doing this, and there's no, like, I'm being disempowered, or right? She's a powerful woman, and he's just standing there, and he just goes, wow, right? Because he kept saying, well, I want you to wow me with the presentation. And so, you know, and then they cut to the husband saying, it was the exact same presentation I showed him last week, right? And so there's nothing about her that's, and she's got like the crazy hourglass figure, right? And there's nothing about it that feels icky or disempowering. She has a sense of humor about it, and it's just fabulous. You know, it's a great role model for a modern, sexy goddess woman. Right? That's
absolutely
awesome. I love her. And you know, the Lord of the Rings. My goodness, that's quite a queen that you got there. And it's really cool that you picked that one, because I don't know if you guys are Lord of the Rings fans, but in that particular movie, right, he offers her to carry the ring for him, and she goes through the whole process. She feels that desire to have just unlimited power and become this terrible, awful, you know, force, and how seductive the power of that ring is into the dark side. And then she chooses not to. And then she knows she's passed the test, right? And so that's a pretty cool queen to have. That is a pretty cool, because she totally owned how powerful her dark side would have been when she felt the seductive power of the dark side. Cool.
Yeah. And that one last thing, the last queen that came up for me is actually the queen that I'm named after, Queen Christina. She was I think 1600s in Sweden, and she was a patron of the arts, and she was very ahead of her time. She dressed in men's clothing. She did what she wanted. She took lovers. She never got married, and she was just a very powerful figure as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so you want to look at some of the qualities that you put down. You know, sometimes it's good to tune into one really specifically and write down those specific attributes, because it sounds like easy. Well, who wouldn't write this? Well, the truth is that your attributes are going to be really specific to you and really specific to the calling, the quality that this archetype in you wants you to own in a bigger way, right? And, you know, when I did this work, some of the things seemed kind of simple to me, but I really sat with them for a couple of weeks and thought, okay. And my first pass was like, oh, okay, you know, that quality. And I thought, no, really, what does that quality mean to me? What would it look like in my life to start stepping into that quality more? You know, what's in there, particularly for people who carry a lot of power in their life, but they're seeing this shadow, they're seeing somebody who's very soft and very, you know, different from the queen, somebody who's very soft, like a Marilyn Monroe, you know, who's a lot more soft. It's like, oh, what would it mean for me to carry that sort of vulnerability quality in my life in addition to my power quality? So awesome. Awesome. Okay, I'm going to come to one more, to Philadelphia. I think Wendy?
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
So this was really amazing for me when I had Angelina Jolie too.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said, like, this was us, the attributes we wrote down, I just started crying because, you know, and I'm reading them over again. I'm saying, yeah, this is me. And but after the tap, I felt like, you know, there's a part of me that's really always wanted to be the star. And I always want to be the star everywhere I am. And for me to, like, just be able to own that and say that, admit that, like, that's, like, a huge thing for me.
Yeah, and so this is a great example, okay? This is a really great example of how when it comes out of our shadow and it's a, like we're so, like, embarrassed about it or not trying not to say it, not to be it, when we can really bring it out of our shadow and own it, it becomes something that's light, you know, that we can joke about, that we actually, like, I would find myself saying things like, you know, I kind of like to be the center of attention, guys. Can we put the focus back on me now? And we would all laugh. But I was actually being more honest than when I would be thinking and thinking and thinking while someone else is talking about what's the next funny thing I can say to get that attention, right?
Right.
And so I would say it and laugh, and it would take all the pressure off me. And I would find I would actually be more genuine in my relationships and more present because I wasn't wrestling with this, you know, the judgment about it and not wanting to feel it and then still doing it anyway somehow in my shadow, but making it look like I wasn't trying to be the star.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So all of that machination and energy and blah, 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 now it's just kind of like, okay, everybody, you know, I pretty much want all the attention, and so let me tell my story first, and then you little people can talk amongst yourselves, and my friends just crack up, you know, my friends just crack up, and we have a good time, and they know me as incredibly caring and compassionate and there for them, but they also... There's no, you know, they also know that I'm pretty honest about that I have this charismatic leader quality and I want to be the center of attention. And they agree
yeah.
with that because they think I'm a riot, right? So
yeah, I just realized that, you know, when I, like, go out and, like, I talk about myself a lot and, you know, I'll come home and then I'll feel like all the shame will come up. Like,
wow.
Oh, I can't believe I revealed so much about myself, you know, the whole, I'm so self-centered, you know, what's everybody going to think of me now? And I think that's really related to this, too.
Yeah, you know, and again, so there's a perfect thing to talk about and joke about with your friends. Say, you know, to say something like, now remember that I'm going to ramble on incessantly about myself. And so just stop me at any time because the last thing I'm going to think about is how you're doing. You know, I say
yeah.
things like that to my friends because I used to feel the same way. I'd be like, I had these wonderful team player friends who would call me up and I would ramble incessantly about myself for an hour and then say bye.
Yeah,
and
I do that too.
They're team players, right? And they're like, oh, tell me more, Margaret. You know, team player friends are all about you. But I'm like, that doesn't really feel that good to me. And so I call myself on it. You know, I'll go, before I ramble on incessantly, because you know I won't stop,
mm-hmm.
I am the most fascinating story I have to tell today. You know, what's happening with you? Because I really do want to be a better friend. I really
yeah.
do want to be a better friend. Okay, so I can, it becomes lighter. It becomes something I can ask for that I can do and I can be conscious of. And that actually lets me have even more balance around it, right? So awesome. So I want you to play around with joking about this thing that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, awesome.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks, guys. We are wrapping it up, and next week, I believe, I'm just going to check my calendar here. I'm pretty sure next week we go into the Lisa Campion. Oh, next week is the heart. I'm sorry. So next week we're going into, I got to check the schedule because I may have changed it. We're either doing the heart next week or we're going into sexuality next week with Lisa Campion. So I'll check the schedule. You guys probably have it closer than I have it. But it's going to be an awesome, awesome class either way. So, and if you have some, you know, feedback from this class or any results that you're getting in your life, any changes that you're seeing, you can absolutely send them to me. I would love to read them. support@margaretmlynch.com is a great place to send comments. And if you don't mind if we use them, you can even let us know because my marketing team is always saying, can you get testimonials, Margaret, of the people love what you're doing and you never ask them to tell you in writing? So that would be great, but I will see you next week on the next class. Great work, everybody.